It's time to laugh, learn, and take your photography to the next level with your favorite cowgirls with cameras, Kara, Kim, and Phyllis.
Welcome to the Cowgirls with Cameras podcast. I'm Kim with Kim Beer Photography and Be More Business.
I'm Kara with Fast Horse Photography.
And I'm Phyllis with Phyllis Burchette Photo.
Gosh, I said that correctly two times today.
Oh, my word. It's a gold star day for Phyllis. I wished we had these little I guess we do have like reactions in here. I did clappy hands, but it didn't appear anywhere.
I didn't hear it. Yeah, I must not be working today.
Well, maybe there's clappy hands. Oh,
yeah, it used to make the sounds. Remember, it'd be like
I thought it'd be like a whole like on Zoom. You know, the whole screen fills up with them. It doesn't do that.
Maybe Riverside will catch up with that. It does all kinds of other magical things. Eventually, they'll get to that.
Oh, goodness. The symbols are going crazy off to the side of the screen. So we'll have at least that. How is everybody and what have you all been up to?
I will start. Ed has been traveling. He went whitewater rafting on the New River in West Virginia with a good friend. He did 2 6-hour days of river rafting on class fives and camped overnight. And he sent me a bunch of video and pictures, and he got home late last night and he was super sore. And his friend only made day one, couldn't make day two. But I was really proud of him. He survived. So since Ed's been gone, I've been doing like all the soccer stuff and running. My parents were also out of the town at the same time. So I've been on like full animal duty, running back and forth to the farm and feeding the horses and the chickens and collecting the eggs and all that. And all of that I love. The hard part is that they have 4 dogs. And I've been taking care of their 4 dogs. 3 of the 4 dogs are wearing diapers.
Oh, no.
So 2 of them are geriatric, really old, just can't hold their pee. So they have to be diapered. And the other one is she's in heat and she is scheduled to be fixed, but she hasn't had it done yet. She came into heat.
Are they at their house or where are they?
Yeah, they're at their house. My aunt is there, but she's elderly and I've been checking on her too. So I honestly feel like I've spent the entire week running for other people and diapering dogs that didn't appreciate being diapered. So they just got back today and I'm so grateful. I'm like so ready. I need a break from diapering little dog butts. Anyway, that's it for me.
Oh, goodness. What about you, Phyllis?
I really got nothing.
You just been hanging out?
No, I really haven't been doing anything. I kind of took a break from social media and went and did some fun things. And that's pretty much all.
Good. We need that right about now. So enjoy it.
Nobody wants to hear about my fun things. So.
Well, I don't know. It depends on the fun thing that you've been doing.
We had Labor Day in there. That was fun. I had lots of friends over for Labor Day. And then I have my group that we play cards with. They came to my house this month. So that was fun. That's all a month. Well, it's a half a day thing when they come. Yeah. So I've been catching up with friends, I guess. Yep.
What kind of cards do you play? I didn't know about this.
We either play Shanghai Rummy or we play a game called Golf or we play a game called Ten Penny, but we play it with quarters. And
High stakes.
Yeah, high stakes. Yeah.
High stakes.
So, yeah. I didn't win either one. My sister won one round and then another friend won the other round this time. So I lost money. I'm in the hole.
I miss playing cards. My family and holidays when my parents were alive and my siblings were alive and all of that. My sister was alive. I didn't have siblings. I had one sister. But we used to play pinochle. And that is a holiday tradition. And I loved playing pinochle. We had more fun and laughter playing pinochle. So I know how to play an old lady game. And I learned it when I was a little kid.
I never played pinochle. We played rook or dominoes when I was growing up. Or go fish. Go fish. When I was little.
Pinochle has some strategy to it. And you've got to have strong fingers to hold all them flipping cards.
No.
It was fun, though. Well, personally, I had an achievement today that I want to celebrate.
Yay.
I wrote my first GPT.
Whoa.
What do you mean?
What does that mean?
Tell us. Explain to us.
Whoa. So I wrote a script for ChatGPT to be able to create a magical 3 email series. This one is for coaches, but guess what? It has opened up a world of possibility for me. So I think there will be some interesting things coming for photographers not very far out. But I had so much fun writing the first one. And believe me, I've got a monumental stack of ideas and already concocted formulas be able to start handing off to AI to make everyone's life easier.
Can you explain something to me? I don't really, because I'm, you know, the old one in the bunch. And when you say you wrote your first GPT, I mean, does that mean like you can submit stuff to like ChatGPT and they'll use it for their AI?
So basically what I did is, you can do that, by the way, just so you know, that is possible. But personally, I want to be paid. So,
well, I didn't know if that's what they did was pay you. So I didn't know.
Well, no, they you can provide it and it can go out into the public for free. But what I did is I have a lot of knowledge about how to write emails, like a lot of knowledge about how to write emails and how to set up email series for small businesses, especially service-based small businesses. Mm-hmm. So what I did is I took a formula that if you were a coach, let's say you're a life coach, and you came to me and you said, I need a 3 email series that helps introduce people to my business. So what I did is I took the formula. Well, actually, I took what I normally would do, created a formula from it. And then I basically taught ChatGPT that formula. And then what it does is instead of me sitting down with you and asking you all of the questions, it asks you the questions and then it writes the emails for you.
Excellent.
And you want to know something? It actually did a pretty darn good job because I sussed out a lot of information from people. I mean, it's not like you just go, here, ChatGPT, write my emails. You have to answer questions from it. But I'm really proud of myself that this is something that I actually took the time to sit down and learn how to do. And now it's off in testing land. But the process of doing it showed me that all of these formulas, because marketing is very formulaic. I mean, to be honest with you, sales is incredibly formulaic. There's a lot of formula to a lot of the things that I do and teach, and people get stuck in that. There's the initial ideation and research part, and that can be a stumbling stone for people. And then there's the have to create it part with what you learned in the research and ideation. And then there's the actual pressing the button and executing, especially in email. So that middle part that normally people get really, really stuck on, that part now can be handed off to AI. And it's one of the cooler things that AI can do. It actually did a really nice job with it. So I'm personally really excited about what the possibilities are with being able to partner with AI to help small business owners get out of their own way.
Well done, you. Congrats.
Yeah.
So I have more questions, but we won't go into that.
We'll do a podcast episode.
When I get some ones written for photographers, we most certainly will do some.
We do a Zoom in the community, a live in the community would be great.
Yes, we could. Actually, you want a new good plug for the community? There will be ones that you will get as part of your community member inclusion. So when you join the community as a paid member, then I'm going to make a certain set of these available to you so that
in the resource bar, and I like it.
Yeah. So there's a little teaser. If you want to get in on the ground floor of that, this is the time to go to cowgirlswithcameras.community and start thinking about joining in, because it really is a place that can save you a lot of time in your business. And it also helps you be very consistent, which is one of the things that we've been talking about this whole month is professionalism. And today we're going to turn the conversation. Last episode, we talked about you being professional and how you showed up, but now we want to look at how you can be professional at showing up in your community. So in somewhat of a larger sense, in starting to build a more professional network and better professional relationships and really parlaying your professionalism up a level. So I'm going to talk to you about the level at which you should start in this process, which is a little different than what you might already be thinking. And then Kira is going to come up behind me and talking about ways that you can get involved and learn and be a better part of your community, how you can absorb from your community. And then Phyllis is going to bring up the tail end with a subject that I'm going to tell you I absolutely love. And that is how to be a good human inside of this community that you're building. So I love this topic. It's going to be so much fun to kind of talk about something, especially after last episode, which I thought was fantastic, but it was a lot of information and a lot of like solid to do kind of stuff. So without further ado, what I want to impart to you in this particular episode is show up for who you want to be rather than where you are. So this is a technique that I think almost every successful person has utilized in their lifetime. And that is when you're at the position, so let's say you're new in your photography business. Maybe it's even just a little side hustle right now. And you've done a couple of photo shoots for your friends and they maybe have bought you dinner, right? That can feel really overwhelming when you go to approach a client and ask to be paid a fair fee for your work. If you've never received like actual compensation for it, that first customer can be very intimidating. And if you show up as, oh, I've only ever really shot for my friends and they bought me dinner, that does not build the professional relationship that we want to build with that customer, nor does it build it with your photography community or within the equine community that you're serving. So instead of showing up as that, show up as who you want to be. And to do that, you need to think ahead. And I recommend 3 to 5 years in the future. If everything worked the way that you wanted it to work, what would your life look like 3 to 5 years from now? Who would you be? What if you walked into that room having accomplished everything that you wanted to accomplish over the next 3 to 5 years? Who would show up? Who would be sitting across from that person who, in answering the questions about how to work with you, right? So the first step in this is to actually sit down and look at writing a vision and imagining yourself in that position 3 to 5 years down the road. What does your day look like? Who are you? What are you, you know, where's your income coming from? What are you doing? Like, what is it that you're imagining will be like in 3 to 5 years and forward in your life? And you might even go as far as to imagine having a conversation about telling someone else what it is that you do. And that will help you set up for that person in the future. And what you're going to do is you are going to bring that person, meld them right into you. And that is who you are going to show up in your community as, the same confidence. Now, I'm not telling you go lie about your experiences. It's not the point here. I'm saying show up in that energy and with that level of confidence, like you've already done it. The other thing that I recommend that you do is also sit in that energy and rewrite or write your artist statement. We did a whole episode and I was remiss and didn't go back and pull the actual episode number, but I'm sure Kara is thumbing through Captivate right now looking for it.
You don't have to, Kara.
That was your cue, Kara.
That was the look on her face was priceless.
Why, but yes, in the show I'm notes, doing that we will right now. Back.
We don't have to do it right now. You can refer back in the show notes. We're going to refer back to that episode where we all three wrote an artist statement. And I think that that artist statement is a really good kind of roadmap for how you want to show up. But what I want you to do is not write it from where you are right this minute, but write it for that artist 3 to 5 years in the future, for that photography business owner 3 to 5 years in the future. Start showing up to parties as that person. Start showing up in your professional life as that person. Start showing up to horse events as that person. It is so crucial in how you bring your energy into the situation to be able to show up as a professional, as the business owner that you want to become. And if you are already a business owner and you're like, oh, well, I'm doing really good, check yourself. say, are you really showing up as a person who has all the accomplishments that you have?
Episode 23.
Look at the things that you have done as a photographer. List them out and look at what you have accomplished and show up as the person who has accomplished those things. Because it makes the energy shift in the room. It makes the energy shift in you. And you show up as more professional. That's my two cents.
It was episode 23 on the artist statement, in case anyone is looking back through. So that was many episodes ago.
Yeah.
Like over 50 episodes
over
ago.
Over 50 episodes ago. But it was
What year was that?
2023.
2023.
Okay. Yeah. So, we've been doing the podcast that long.
But it was a good episode. And we all did that exercise where we wrote our own artist statements. I don't even
remember that.
Yeah, we were doing it for Cowgirl Artists of America. Yeah.
The Cowgirl Artists of America spurred us to that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
We had to do them anyway. So we were like, well, let's do a podcast episode on this experience.
Multitasking.
That's right. Okay, so I'm going to talk a little bit in terms of being professional within your community. I'm going to talk about one way that I have really embraced doing that over the years, especially in the early years of starting my equine photography journey. So, and that is really to just get involved and to learn. So, and I think that starts honestly with just an active participation within that community. You know, don't just show up with your camera to an event like I'm here to take something. Show up as part of the actual equestrian community. So attend the horse shows, attend the clinics, go to the barn events, not just to photograph people, but to kind of learn about those environments and how each of those flows differently. Just spend some time being there in those environments. Try to find times when you can go and be present at the events without being on the job the whole time. It can really help people in that community that you want to access. And so for me, that was the equine and equestrian community. It really helped me be seen and noticed as a fellow equestrian, a fellow member of that community, and not just another vendor or service provider there. I was part of the community more than just being there to provide a service. It'll also help you as a photographer just to start anticipating, you know, when these events might be available for you, how you might be able to leverage those events down the line anyway for your business. You're going to really start to kind of understand a little bit more about them and understand some of the routines that come up. The second thing I would encourage is investing in your education as an equine photographer. So photography education, yes, you can get that through workshops, through retreats, through a podcast, just like you're listening to or watching on YouTube right now. Hop over into our community, attend a workshop. Any of those things are great ways that you can sharpen your skills. You might find local camera clubs in your area, but I would encourage you to do something that's equine specific as well in terms of equine specific education. When you're doing these things out in your community, it will show the people that you hope to serve that you're serious about doing what you do well and understanding the community well, that you're not just dabbling. This isn't just a hobby for you. And continuing that education is not just about that photography side. If you're not someone who has spent a lot of time around horses, this is your opportunity to learn more about horses, to learn about the different disciplines, and then on the flip side, learn about the business side of some of it and the art side of equine photography. So when your community that you want to access, the equine and equestrian community, sees you investing in yourself, they're going to recognize you and recognize that you're trying to build a long-term business, and this is not just a side hustle and you're going to disappear in a month. Okay. There also needs to be an element of learning the culture. For me, I grew up in a horse industry based in Missouri, which was a little different than the horse industry here in Florida. So when I moved to Florida and brought my horses here, I had to kind of learn about the Florida horse culture, if that makes sense. So that extends itself across disciplines as well. So every equine discipline is going to have its own expectations. Like the hunter jumper ring might be really different or will be really different and is run really different than a rodeo. Dressage has its own etiquette that is different from a reining show. So learning those things will really help you in the long run. That goes beyond events. Every barn that you go to is going to have their own rules. They're going to have their own expectations. Things like what some of the things that I think of off the top of my head would be when and where photos are allowed. I would go to one barn and I could not shoot in one direction because they did not want their house or that side of the property in photos. I would go to another barn where you had to drive below 5 miles per hour and they would get onto you. And the last thing I'd want to do is show up and get off to the wrong step immediately by driving too fast through the barn.
I think I know the barn you're talking about.
Yep, I think you do too. You've been there. So figure out how the trainers and riders at the different locations want to be respected and kind of what their expectations are so that you can kind of blend in. And one great way to do that is take the time when you get there to observe a little bit and spend some time learning rather than just barging in and trying to do things your own way. People notice when you take the time to learn and respect their world and become a part of it. I think that missteps with equine photographers happen when they assume that all disciplines are the same, all barn rules are the same. That's when you're going to get yourself in trouble. So being professional sometimes means slowing down and taking the time to learn about those differences. Okay. Another thing that I recommend is taking the time to ask questions and listen. So I have a tendency in my community, like I jump into, like, I want to appear knowledgeable, right? And I want to try to show up as knowledgeable as possible. But sometimes taking the time to just be really curious and ask questions, ask riders about their horses, ask trainers about their riding programs, ask community members about events that you've never attended. Like, what's the tradition and history of this event or this, you know, here in Florida, we have the Florida Cracker culture. Learn the history of that before you go and try to shoot it. So take the time to do that. When you listen more than you talk, it does communicate respect and it will build rapport within the communities that you're hoping to access. Because when people feel heard, they feel listened to, they feel understood, they are going to be a lot more likely to trust you as the photographer to photograph them, to photograph at their place of business, to photograph at their event, to photograph their horses. So just, you know, take the time, learn those unspoken rules that they're not going to be posted everywhere. Learn what's appropriate, what's not, and how you as the equine photographer can just kind of gracefully fit into that. And then the last thing I want to add, which I think is something that came later to me, but I have found very valuable, is to learn to be visible through your service as an equine photographer. So one of the fastest ways I found to become a part of your equestrian community is to take the time to serve that community. So volunteer at events, maybe as a photographer or maybe as someone who stands and takes entry at the front gate. You know, maybe you're not carrying a camera. Sponsor a class. Let your business, your photography business, sponsor a class or sponsor a jump, you know, sponsor an event there, or even offer your photography skills for fundraiser purposes. When you photograph community events without a sales pitch, it can show goodwill and make your name recognizable. When I first started, I would just go to events and I wouldn't shoot every class. I would just hang out and take pictures that I wanted to take, but I would walk around and talk to everyone and introduce myself and hand out little goodie bags and business cards and just say hi to people and ask about their horses and that sort of thing. So your service doesn't have to be huge. It can be something as simple as sharing resources, helping a local barn with promotional images, or supporting just local horse-based nonprofit organizations. It can be really simple things like that. Doesn't have to be huge. Doesn't have to always be monetary. It can be in-kind service as well. And then the goodwill that you build often does lead to business somewhere down the road. And it's a great way to just root you in that community and get people talking about your business and in an assortment of different ways. So I don't know. I hope that filled that section. That's what I've learned about getting involved in my community.
I love all that. It's awesome.
I do too. And The thing that really, you know, all of this drives home is that when our business exists into serving a community and we show up as a community member, it's magical in that it creates that rapport and relationships that will get our that makes everybody more successful. So it just like levels up everybody at the same time. And that's what I think some people really miss, especially if they go into a small business or photography for money. Like, I'm just here to take advantage of this particular need, which is a great reason to start a business. Don't get me wrong. However, when you come into it with that energy, it's like walking into a pasture with an agenda. People can feel it and horses can feel it, and both the people and the horses will leave and not be so easy to catch. Whereas if you show up as then, hey, I'm part of the herd. I'm going to scratch your back a little bit. Yeah. Maybe I have a treat in my pocket. All of a sudden, everybody's a lot easier to get along with.
Yeah, I think showing you're invested in that community, whatever that community is, whether it be the trail ride community, the horse show community, people react a lot different than if you're just there for a paycheck.
Definitely. Yeah, it's funny, I'll go to trail rides and stuff, like events and trail rides, and we have what we call girls night rides and stuff here, and the times that I participated in them, they're like, where's your camera? And I'm like, no, I'm here to ride. I'm here to have fun. You know, I brought my horse. And you know, the only downside is that sometimes he can be a real pain in the butt and embarrass me and make me look like a fool. But other than that, it's been a win.
Poor Chief. You just called him out on a podcast.
He was pretty naughty for me a couple years ago at a big event, and I was really embarrassed.
Sounds like he deserved to be called out.
Yeah.
That's what I hate about. I do miss my good mare. Now I'm I'm at the mercy of whoever just lets me ride with them.
Well, Phyllis, I think it's time for you to talk all about the fun part of just being a darn good human.
Well, this is all good advice from myself as well. So, gosh, professionalism really is about how you treat others. And I think most people know that, but we're talking about specifically I think you wanted me to talk specifically about online. Of course, that bleeds into everything you do. I mean, it doesn't matter whether you're online or you're in person or wherever you are. It's all about how you treat your others, not just your clients, but other people in general. And your reputation grows from being present, respectful, and genuine. And talking about your online presence, this goes beyond likes. Reply thoughtfully and answer questions and thank people for your feedback when you're replying, you know, when on your online presence on your Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, wherever you are, YouTube. Show them that there's a real person behind your brand. And this really builds trust and loyalty by doing that. And in a world full of, I don't think it's quite as perfectly curated feeds as it used to be, but I think we've talked about this before. And Kara's really good at this. His authenticity really stands out. So people want to know that authenticity. They want to know you. And I think one of the great ways to do that is to show vulnerability. I have a hard time with that word too. And transparency on social media. And some specific ways to do that are like, maybe show behind the scenes look and let them see that your life isn't as perfect as they may think it is. If they're just looking at your feed online, kind of pull back the curtain and show the process of how you got to that finished product, or not just the final polished product. Let them see every layer of what got you there. Even if you're just going to a shoot, like I think, and you've done this, Kara, you're so good at this, like the behind the scenes stuff and showing people from the process from going out the door to getting there and the whole process, you know, and then getting back. And there's a whole lot that goes into a successful photo shoot. And a lot of people don't see that. They only see the final product. So another great way, I think, is admitting you've made a mistake or even admitting that you had a setback in your business. I think this is a little bit more courageous form of vulnerability. For me, it is, at least, because sometimes I have trouble with admitting a mistake. But I think it really builds a lot of trust and integrity when you do this. I know I had a client years, this has been many, many, many years ago when I was kind of first starting out. That's back when I did like everything I delivered to the customer was through a Dropbox folder. And she had a terrible time trying to get her images off that Dropbox folder. And I said the worst thing I could have ever said to a client.
Uh-oh.
And which I didn't know it at the time. I didn't think about how this sounded to her. Well, I've never had anybody else have that issue before.
Oh,
which basically, I know. Well, basically,
rude,
I was telling this poor lady how dumb she was, you know? And you know, when she called me out on that, I'm like, you know, you're right. That was awful. I mean, I have to, you have to think about it from their point of view, you know?
Yeah.
And maybe you don't want to admit this on social media, but yeah, I think that might be an extreme case. But yeah, just think about any time you made a mistake and just don't hesitate to let people know that you're human too. You make mistakes. The third way, I think, is to show your vulnerability and transparency is to, hey, I said it really good that time, is to share your why. I think that's a really good one. Share your why and the how. Transparency sometimes is about explaining the thought behind your decisions, even if they're difficult or unpopular sometimes. The fourth one is, and this is one I have a hard time with, is engaging with the negative, respectfully engaging with the negative. This is one of the most complicated, but also the most powerful ways to be transparent. A lot of times I just go through and delete negative comments because I don't want to respond to them. Instead of deleting them, respond to them thoughtfully and professionally. And sometimes I want to get defensive, you know, and that's the worst thing you can do is get defensive. And sometimes people appreciate it when you respond to them and explain to them maybe why that person was holding the reins that way. Or sometimes people don't understand. They genuinely don't understand. They're not trying to be critical necessarily. But my thought process is, oh my gosh, that's terrible. They're being critical of my photo, you know, or they're being critical of the way the person's writing. So instead of doing that, don't get defensive. Even if the comment you feel is kind of unfair, respond in a calm, professional manner and show your audience that you are a mature business owner that listens to its customers. Even their and your people that are following you online are potential customers. So you have to look at it that way. Always maintain a positive tone. Stay out of online disputes unless they're strategically part of your messaging. Don't post inflammatory content and manage your comments to remove. I always do this. I'm really good about, even though I don't get on Facebook, because I have this issue more on Facebook than I do on Instagram. But it's like people, like men, trying to go in and make comments to women to follow them and stuff like that. So I try to be really good about removing spam or any harassment I feel like is occurring on any of my feeds. This just helps create a really safe and welcoming space for your audience to engage, because you want them to be able to engage with each other. But when you get that kind of stuff, that's not real engagement. That's just harassment, I think. Give credit where credit's due.
You should see my DMs.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure. If they're anything like mine, I totally understand. Yeah.
I read them to Ed just so he knows I've got options.
I love it.
I probably don't get as many as you do, but I get those too. There has been a couple I've thought about really, you know, No, anyway, I digress.
Just maintain a positive tone if you reach out.
Yes, yes. Well, I'll try. Okay. Y'all are getting me off base here.
Sorry.
Yeah. Give credit where credit is due. This is part of being a good human and lifting other people up. Especially we want women supporting women, I think, or not just women, but other photographers in general. If you see some work that you really like, share it. Tag them and credit the original creator. It shows integrity and it shows respect for other people's work. Use your platform to highlight the work of your partners, your collaborators, or even other businesses in your community. I think that's really good to do all this. Of course, punctuality is a huge form of respect. Being on time or even early for meetings, deadlines, appointments shows that you value other people's time and that you're reliable. The last thing I'm going to talk about is the dangers of gossip. There's so many things that negative things gossip does. It erodes trust. It creates a toxic environment. It reflects poorly on the person who engages on it.
It's rampant in the horse community, too.
Like, it's not just the horse community, though, I don't think.
It's everywhere.
Yeah, it's everywhere.
No, it's everywhere.
When you're known as a gossiper, people will wonder what you're saying about them behind their backs, too. So think about that before you start or open your mouth, or not just you. We all do it. Time spent gossiping is not time spent on work. It's a productivity killer. It damages reputations. Gossip, whether it's true, exaggerated, or completely false, can ruin a person's professional reputation. Because once it's out there, it's hard to take back, even if it's not true. I think ultimately engaging in gossip says way more about the gossiper than it does about the person you're talking about, too.
I would add, Phyllis, that includes times when maybe you are working with a client and they're talking gossip about someone they worked with in the past that yes. is in the same role.
Yeah, don't
like, go
down
that. Our tendency is
yeah.
to be like, oh, I'm so glad I'm a better fit for you, yeah. yada, yada, yada. But it's really mm-hmm. like,
yeah,
try to find a way to, well,
don't go down
sharing,
that road.
Thank yeah. you for sharing that experience mm-hmm. and yeah. then bringing them back to what you're doing.
Yeah.
Together.
Redirect.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Don't let
redirect.
Them pull you.
Redirect.
Yeah. Don't let them yep. pull you down that road. So, yep. Exactly. So I think in short, you know, we all gossip, I think, to feel connected sometimes or to feel like we're adding something to the conversation
yeah.
that maybe others didn't know. We're, you know, we're entertaining, we're educating. We think we are, but I think before we do, we need to really stop a second and choose whether that connection that we think we're building will build trust or break it. So just stop and think about it. But the most valuable professional skill I think that we all can develop is the ability to make people feel respected and valued. And everything else is going to follow if you do that.
Absolutely.
Well, look at us. We've just laid it all out for people.
Well, like I said, it's good advice for everybody, myself included.
It really is. Yeah. And it's always a good reminder, especially going into a busy season and stuff like that. Like a lot of us are either in it or getting ready to head out of it. So mm-hmm. it's a good reminder. And it transfers across like not just in your community, but in your photography community, like going to events. And, you know, we talk about that all the time, being in person with people and not just online, like it all transfers. So,
yeah.
All right. So we hope you've enjoyed this episode. We hope that you're thinking to yourself, how can I be more professional in my community? And you're thinking about that to yourselves and maybe you're making a game plan there. Check in with us over at our community. We have this amazing online private community that is dedicated to equine photographers. It's a cowgirlswithcameras.community. You can find us over there. We also are probably by the time this episode comes out, we'll have some of our 2026 events out. I'm really hoping that we will at that point. So head over to cowgirlswithcameras.com, check out our events page, and find out how you can join us at one of our events that are coming up. We've got some great opportunities that we're really excited about, and we think you will be excited about them as well. You can also find us online. We like our social media. We're on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok. So come hang out with us over there too.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Cowgirls with Cameras. Don't let the laughter and learning stop here. Join our community on social media and be sure to visit our website for more opportunities to fulfill your photography goals. Head to cowgirlswithcameras.com. That's cowgirlswithcameras.com. See you next time.